Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope everybody enjoyed that extra hour of sleep you got. So, if you missed out on the fireside chat last night, you missed out on a blessing. We had a great time. I understand we didn't answer all the questions, and so we're gathered here today to continue to try to figure out what the Bible says and how it applies to our life and how to live it according to the precepts of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of 1 Peter. I know it's been a while. It's going to be a while as well. We'll pick up here in verse 8 of chapter 1. In whom, speaking of Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now this fragment I just want to try to go over today. I can already tell I'm not going to get through all of it today, so we'll have to pick up the rest of it next week. Talking about this salvation, we talked a little bit the last time we were together how we have not seen Christ except for by faith. Peter had that pleasure of spending 3.5 years with him, seeing Christ crucified, not only crucified and buried, but resurrected. He saw the resurrected Christ. And we have a blessing from the Lord himself of those that have not seen the Lord yet believe. Like Thomas. Thomas said, if I don't see him, I'm not going to believe. And the Lord told him, Thomas, you have seen me and you believe. Blessed are those that have not seen and believe. So there is a blessing for us. Peter picks up that refrain here in this portion, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because our faith is a reality. We know that Christ died for us and rose again, and we're saved by the grace of God, and we rejoice in that. Faith is the victory, I think, is the song that we sing. But he talks about this salvation in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I thought that was a peculiar phrase, the end of your faith. The end of your faith. What does that mean, the end of your faith? Well, end of your faith. Well, got the old Webster dictionary out and tried to figure out what that meant. Three possibilities, and I'm going to give you those possibilities and then tell you what I think it means. The first is the result or object of.
Yep, that's true.
Result or the object of, an outcome, an intention, aim, or purpose. The purpose or the result of your faith is the salvation of your souls. And we see examples in the Bible. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. This is a Bible study. We're going to use the Bible. So get your Bible out. We're going to be reading a lot of verses this morning. 1 Timothy 1, 5, using a similar phrase. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. What is the end of the commandment? Charity. It's the result of the commandment, or the aim or the outcome of the commandment is to bring us to charity. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We're not going to say the end of the Lord is the abolition of the Lord or the termination of the Lord. That's not the meaning. But what is the end of the Lord? What is the result of the Lord's working? We find that the God is very pitiful and he's merciful. For that we're thankful for. The other meaning is the idea of the termination of existence, the destruction of, termination, the stopping or the abolishing of something. We might see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter writes in his epistle, but the end of all things is at hand. It's going to come to an end. It's going to stop. It's going to be abolished. The end of all things is at his hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Boy, that's some good advice. If you realize this world is going to come to an end, it's going to be abolished, then you ought to change your attitude towards it. You ought not to be investing in that which is going to come to an end. If you knew that, what was that? I can't think of the company now. Enron. If you knew Enron was going to come to an end, you probably would not have invested in these stocks, right? Because you knew it was going to be kaput, right? And the same thing Peter is saying here, if you know the world's going to burn up, it's going to come to an end, a conclusion, it's going to be abolished, then you ought not invest in this world. You ought to invest in something right. That's going to last. Jesus said something about not investing in things that can be corrupted. You ought to put your heart on things above and not on the things on the earth. The other example, which came out a little bit last night, here's a promise for you. Romans chapter 10, 4. That's not CB talk, that's a chapter and verse. Romans 10, 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Listen, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the law is kaput. It's ended. It's no longer has power over you. Yeah. It's been abolished for you as, our brother Bill so ably pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that those laws written in stone have been abolished for believers. Thank God for that. So that's one possible meaning. The other one is the ultimate state or condition of. So, for example, in Psalms 37, verse 37, he says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Yeah, it's the ultimate state. So, is it the ultimate state of our faith salvation? Possibly. Is faith terminated with the salvation of our souls? Careful. Careful. Did you know when we're in the presence of God, faith is no longer going to exist? Right. You don't need faith when you're in the presence of God because you're going to see Him eye to eye. So that might be a possibility. Now my personal interpretation, understanding is it's the result or the object of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. But I'd want to throw out some other possibilities because I thought that was a peculiar phrase, the end of your faith being what? The salvation of your souls. Now, I believe the last time we spoke about this, I went over some things about salvation. Salvation, we can say confidently that we are saved if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you can say, I'm saved by the grace of God. We find that over in Ephesians chapter 2 very definitely stated. It says, in fact, that we are seated in heavenly places. Now, we have to take that by faith because I see you seated here. And I don't think 602 Oak Knoll is heavenly places. Sometimes heaven comes down and blesses us here, but we're not seated in heavenly places physically, but spiritually being in Christ, we're seated in heavenly places. And I believe what we went over is salvation has an aspect to it. From our perspective and from God's perspective. From God's perspective, we are completely saved. It's done. He is not limited by time. When He saved us, He knew what the beginning was going to be, and He knew what the end was going to be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our God is outside of time. He's not limited by time. He knows, and by knowing that, He can say that we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, we are saved. And we can take that statement by God and say that we are saved. Now, some people think that's a very arrogant statement. How can you say that you're saved? The reason they think it's arrogancy or pride is because they think that salvation is something that's to be earned or merited. They think that salvation, you've got to endure to the end. You've got to hang on, or you've got to repent over and over again. And if you ever fail to repent for any sin that you've committed, then you've lost that salvation. Well, that is not the salvation that Peter is talking about. That's not the salvation that the prophets prophesied about. That's not the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, it's an eternal salvation. And we got that the moment that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I pointed out, or I tried to point out last time, that we are a triune beings, just as God is triune. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. In fact, the Bible reverses the order when it talks about being triune. It says spirit, body, or spirit, soul, and body. So here's that salvation. The moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we were baptized with the Spirit of God, placed into Christ, death, and resurrected with Christ, and seated in the heavenly places. Our spirit is with Christ. And God is saving, from our perspective now, God is saving us by sanctifying us daily by working on our souls. This happens on a daily basis. We talk about growing in the faith. We talk about children growing up in the Lord. We are being saved, although we are saved. Does that make sense? And you'll see some of that in the scriptures, and we went over that. And then one day, we're going to hear the trumpet.
Amen.
Paul and Peter both talked about being in this tabernacle, being bound down. Paul writes over in Romans, we do groan earnestly, waiting for that day when we're going to be freed from this body of sin and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, happy day that's going to be. No more boots for ankles. No more walking thingamajobs, whatever they're called. No more canes, no more glasses. No more backaches, no more arthritis in the hands, no more diets, no more diets. We're just going to feast in heaven. Oh, what a day that's going to be. That's going to be a salvation, is it not?
Amen.
And are we not waiting for that?
Amen.
Even though in God's eye, it's already done. Yeah. So for us, salvation is done, being done, and will be done. How's that for an English lesson, Brian?
There you go.
There you go. We got past, present, and future, yeah? Salvation, the salvation of our souls. Look in James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God, the promises of God. And by believing the promise of God, God saves us. Where does faith come from? Anybody know?
By hearing the word of God.
By hearing the word of God.
Amen.
The source of our faith are the promises of God, hearing the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What is able to make us wise unto salvation? The scriptures, the written word of God. And that is an amazing thing, that God has preserved his word in written words. That God chose to preserve his word in written words that we can go back to and check on. Have you ever tried to recall something? The older you get, the harder it is. What happened last week? I really don't remember. But if you wrote it down, you can recall. What happened 30 years ago? Have no idea. But if you wrote in a journal, if you wrote in your journal, some people keep journals and their diaries, and they open up and they can recall exactly what happened because it was written down. And God did not preserve the word in a mysterious form. He preserved it in a very practical form. He wrote it in a book. And has been translated into multiple languages. What a blessing the people of God have to have the very words of God written in their language. And we as a people are tremendously blessed to have the word of God. I fear that you and I both, all of us here, we underappreciate the blessings that God has given to us as a people in having the word of God in our language.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. You know, sometimes I've seen videos and I've sort of experienced it. I've met people that have never had a Bible in all their lives. And then you hand them a Bible and their eyes, well, they just start weeping. And some of us, we got 15 Bibles laying around the home.
Right.
We got one in the living room. We got one in the kitchen. We got one even in the throne room. And we got one upstairs in the bedroom. And we got a couple on the shelf here. We are tremendously blessed, and we ought not to neglect that blessing.
Amen.
Yeah? Because he says here that the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to throw out an extra bonus there. If you'll contemplate what Timothy had, Paul said that Timothy had the scriptures. Did he say that? And he knew the scriptures from his childhood. The scriptures. Did you know what Paul said about the scriptures in that same chapter? What did I say? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul defines those scriptures. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you notice that the scriptures are defined as being inspired by God? Or given by inspiration of God? That is the character of the scriptures, and Timothy had them. Do you believe that? Timothy did not have the original or the autographs that were originally written. He did not have those Ten Commandments that God wrote with his finger. He did not have a copy of that. And that original copy, Moses broke at the bottom of the mountain and he had to go back up and get a second copy. Timothy didn't have the first copy and he didn't have the second copy. But he had the scriptures given by inspiration of God. Isn't that amazing? You and I have the scriptures given by inspiration of God. If they're not given by inspiration of God, they're not the scriptures. That is an amazing thing. That was free. No payment necessary. But talking about the salvation of our souls, I want to give you some points. Look over in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And this is this time aspect of our salvation. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What is he talking about? Nearer than when we believed. The time aspect. Look over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Did you see that? Yeah? One day, look, like I said, the completed salvation in Christ. When he comes back, no more sin, no more ailments, no more corruptible body. We will be raised incorruptible with him. And we're waiting for that day, and it's coming, and it's getting closer and closer. Paul said it's getting nearer. Are you ready for it? Are you thinking about it? It's like kids waiting for Christmas. It's getting near. Yeah, or waiting for their birthday, or waiting for some trip they're going to go on. It's getting, they're just anxious. Are we there yet, Dad? Are we there yet? Yeah.
Has he come yet? Do you wake up in the morning? Is today the day? It may very well be.
Salvation, which is Christ coming back. Notice what it says also in our text here, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now the prophets prophesied of Christ. They prophesied of his suffering and they prophesied of his glory. The Jews in the time of Christ, they really wanted to emphasize on the glory of the Messiah. The victory, when they would have victory over their enemies. They emphasize that and they miss the prophecies about the suffering Christ. And you and I, we can fall into that same trap that we forget that both emphases are prophesied in Scripture. That's one aspect that we're going to go through. This prophesying of the suffering of Christ and the glory of Christ. But there's also, he says, they spoke about this salvation that was to come. Did you know, notice when you read through the Gospels, the Jews weren't too friendly with the Gentiles? Did you notice that? In fact, one time he says, where's he going to go? Is he going to go with the Gentiles? Is he going to go over there with the Gentiles? They were just, that's you and I, by the way. These Gentiles were treated as dogs. Yeah? They weren't some special holy people. The Jews consider themselves the elect of God. Rightfully so. But they miss the aspect that even in the promises to Abraham, including a blessing for all the families of the earth and all the nations of the earth, they liked the blessings that came upon their nation, but somehow they forgot that there was a blessing for all nations in Abraham. And that's what I want to show you now. We're going to read several verses. I want to show you this. This idea that salvation was going to come to you and I was sort of a mystery for the Jews. They just didn't quite figure that out. Do you remember when Peter was told to rise, slay, and eat? A big old sheet came down with all this, like we say in Poland, Polish kielbasa. Polish sausage, and Peter had never had Polish sausage. Now the Lord's saying, rise, slay and eat, make you some Polish sausage. And he says, no, I've never done that in my life. I'm not going to eat anything that's not kosher. Not going to happen, Lord. Three times he said it. He said, Lord said, what I've cleansed, call that thou not common or unclean. And then right after that, a knock on the door, and who was knocking on the door but some Gentile dogs. And they go over to Cornelius' house. Peter goes. He's saying, you know, I think the Lord's leading me here. And he goes over there. He finally figures it out. Peter was a little bit slow. Let's put it that way. He was just a little bit slow. He gets this great revelation from God. He says, yes, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Son of God. And then right after that, right in that same passage over there in Matthew 16, he ends up denying that Christ was going to die. That's our Peter. But look what it says here in a few passages. Luke chapter, we'll start with Acts. Acts chapter 15, since I'm talking about Peter. Acts chapter 15, you know the story. He goes to the Cornelius' house. He preaches. He says that salvation, the prophets prophesied that salvation is in the name of the Lord. And boom, the Holy Spirit falls upon these Gentiles. They begin speaking in tongues. These Jews that were with Peter, they're astonished. He says, what's going on? And Peter says, who can hinder these to be baptized that have received the Spirit of God like we have? And these Jews are just shocked. And then they go back and they tell the story. And boy, that story was hard to tell because people weren't ready for this kind of story that the Gentiles could be saved. And we pick up the story here in, a portion of the story in Acts chapter 15. He says in verse 14, Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And listen to it. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So salvation was even for the Gentiles. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, but the Jews somehow missed it. Yeah, and that's what Peter's saying here. These prophets, they had prophesied of this salvation that was to come unto us, and now it's happening. Look over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 38. I'm just going to read these verses, and then I'll make comment afterwards. Luke 2, verse 38. Do you remember when Mary and Joseph went up to the temple? They take little Jesus up there, and Simon was there. And we pick it up in verse 28. Then took he, Simon, took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for thine eyes have seen what? Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What was the salvation that Simon saw? Jesus. It was a person. Salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I've seen your salvation, and he's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Not just for the glory of the people of Israel, but for the Gentiles as well. What a blessing. Praise God for that. Romans chapter 9, verse 22, Paul picks up on the same theme. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known and endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also what? But also the Gentiles. For he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which are not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And how many of you are the children of the living God? Amen. I am. Do you realize the prophets diligently sought that day to see that? And the angels are looking in to see this marvelous thing that God would save peoples from every nation and every tongue? Wow. What a blessing. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, this is Paul. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known. So Peter and Paul are talking about that very same thing, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, even unto me by the effectual working of his power, that God would form a church, a body of Christ made up of Jews and Gentiles. What an amazing thing. That was an amazing thing for Jews. It was shocking for them.
because they somehow missed it. Now the prophets prophesied about it. They diligently sought after it. There was the sufferings of Christ. There was the glory of Christ. And there was also that calling of people of Gentile nations also. It was prophesied and they were diligently looking for it. Now let's go back to Peter, pick up in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. He's in the middle of preaching to Cornelius and his servants. In verse 42 he says, and he commanded us to preach, God commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and dead, talking about Jesus. To him, Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, look at it, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. Amen. Whosoever. You can go to Texas and preach the gospel. Did you know that? You can go to Michigan and preach the gospel. Did you know that? You can go to Mexico and preach the gospel. Did you know that? You can go to Poland and preach the gospel. The gospel is for whosoever.
Amen.
What a revelation.
Amen.
Whosoever. Acts chapter 18 and verse 23. Again, Paul. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Wow. Paul took up that Old Testament. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament, which we have. We are tremendously blessed. He took that Old Testament and preached unto them from Moses and the prophets, preached unto him Jesus. Jesus in the Old Testament? Jesus in the Old Testament? Did you hear that? Jesus in the Old Testament? I thought Jesus was in the New Testament. Yes, Jesus in the New Testament. Look back at our text, what it said here. It says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets in the Old Testament. I thought the Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. What's going on? Christ was before his birth. He was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Guess what else it says about that? Preached unto the Gentiles. God manifest in the flesh and preached unto the Gentiles. And this Spirit of Christ was in them, the prophets of old. And that's what I want to take up very quickly now. First of all, the deity of Christ. It's a cardinal doctrine. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He was called Jesus, Jehovah saves, the Lord saves. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Did you notice that triune word there? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It seems like it's all that one Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God. Or just plainly, the Spirit. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of his Son? Wow. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, and here we have the Spirit in the New Testament. Some more verses speaking about the Spirit of Christ. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Who is going to send the Comforter? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth. Quickly, who's going to send? In verse 26. The Father or the Son? He says, I will send unto you, right? Yeah. And then he says in the same verse, he's going to send it from the Father, which proceeds from the Father. John 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Spirit is not an it, it's a him.
Amen.
Yeah. Think about that. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. The Father is sending him and the Son is sending him. Did you see that? Same chapter, back up in verse 16 through 18. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. As if Christ is saying, I'm going to be that Comforter in spirit coming onto you. Wow. The mystery of the Trinity is mind-boggling, but if you read the scriptures, it's there in black and white. Yeah? All right, let's go back. Now, he says, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 4. You might want to write this verse down or mark it. We're going to have to pick up the speed. We're going to put this in overdrive. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink of that same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who?
Christ.
Christ. That was Israel coming out of Egypt, going across the desert. That was a long, long time ago. That was way before Mary was even born. That was way before King David. That was a long time ago. That was back in Moses' time. And they're going out, and guess who was following them? Christ! Did you know Christ was in the Old Testament? He's known as the angel of the Lord. And very quickly, I'm going to show you. He appeared unto Abraham. Genesis chapter 13, I believe it might be 18. I'm going to have to check my reference here. I think I wrote it down wrong. I think it's chapter 18 and verse 1, but let me check. 18 verse 1. And the Lord, that's Jehovah, and the Lord appeared unto him, talk about Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant, yet a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves on under the tree. And then he goes on, he goes and gets the water and he prepares the stuff. Down, jump down to verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Jehovah is speaking. The Lord said unto Abraham, as if one of the three men was the Lord himself. Talking to Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for I was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. He said that the Lord himself spoke to Abraham. Who was that? It was the angel of the Lord. It was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Look down in Genesis 22, verse 15. It says, And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of heaven the second time and said,
By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, is not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham believed the promise of God, took his son up there to sacrifice him. Here's the voice of the God. The angel of the Lord called on Abraham, and he says, and said, listen to what the angel said, I by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. That to me is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Look in Genesis chapter 16, Hagar. You remember the story? And the angel of the Lord, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, I also have looked after him that seeth me. She called the name of the Lord, talking to that angel. Wow. Look at Jacob in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 30. And Jacob called on the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I believe that's where he was fighting with the angel of the Lord, right? He was fighting with the angel of the Lord, and he says, man, I've seen God face to face. Hosea, talking about this in chapter 12, Hosea is a minor prophet, you can look it up. Verse 3, he says, and he took his brother by the heel in the womb, talking about Jacob, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord in his memorial. Wow. God speaking to men in the Old Testament. Gideon, Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his... And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. Notice, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherefore shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am a least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, I now have found grace in thy sight. Then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and of ephah of flour and flesh, and he put it in a basket and put on the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay it upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord, do you notice the combinations here? The angel of the Lord, the angel of God, put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of unleavened cakes, and it rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Wow. God in the Old Testament manifesting self. That's Christ in the Old Testament. We have a couple more, one more, and we'll conclude. Moses, Exodus chapter 3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt." Boy, this is better than Google. Better than YouTube. I'm going to go over here and take a look. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put up thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, as for he was afraid to look upon God. Wow. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And his spirit was in the Old Testament. And he appeared as the angel of the Lord unto the prophets of old throughout the Old Testament. An amazing thing. And we have confidence and we serve this great God who is our salvation, who imparted the gospel unto us, the Gentiles. What a blessing that we have. And Peter said, "This the prophets diligently looked into of old, in when the Spirit of Christ was upon them." I hope that was a blessing to you. We'll pick up on the rest of this next week. Let's take a short break, and afterwards we'll have the preaching hour. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.